Okay, today's daf is Yuma daf Yud. We left off on daf Tes Amud Beis. Today we are going to continue some Agadata. We were discussing the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni and the differences between the reasons for the Churban and the Bayis Rishon and the Churban for the Bayis Sheni. But that led us also into a discussion about not everyone coming back for the Tkuf of the Bayis Sheni, and told us about how Reish Lakish was would not converse with anyone who was from Bavel because they failed to come back to the Bayis Sheni for the Bayis Sheni, and he thought that's what caused the Bayis Sheni to be so much less than what it otherwise could have been. And the Gemara is going to identify Paras and Yefes and a variety of different nations based on this conversation that we're having. So that's why this long Amud Aleph and the Dafir Amud Aleph spends a lot of time just identifying different nations that are spoken about in Psukim. The Gemara is going to talk about who's going to fall to who, whether Rome will fall to Persia or Persia will fall to Rome. And then ultimately at the bottom of Dafir Amud Aleph, we're going to get into the Mezuzah Sugya. We have some of the most important halacha lemaisa sugyas in Hilchos Mezuzah here in Maseches Yuma, in today's daf and in tomorrow's daf. The Gemara's, and the context of that discussion is whether this Lishchas Parhedrin that the Kohen Gadol was quarantined to for that week before Yom HaKippurim, is that room Chayiv in Mezuzah? So the Gemara is going to discuss whether a Sukkah is Chayiv in Mezuzah, another type of room that a person spends 1 week in out of the year, and that's going to lead us into a brief discussion about whether jails require a mezuzah, a room that one is obligated to be in, that one cannot leave, is required a mezuzah or not. So we're going to have all those discussions about mezuzah much later on. But first, we were discussing yesterday about the Gemara had a drasha that imdelasi notzra laluach eres. So we made a drasha that b'yimei Ezra we were had we all gone up b'yimei Ezra and gone back to Eretz Yisrael, then we would have been like Kesef. Then the Malchus would have been like Kesef. The Beis Hamikdash would have been like Kesef. It would have been like something that never rotted. But because we didn't, so it's nimshaltim ke'erez, that rekev is sholitbo, that rot is able to take over it because we didn't all come up. So this is part of the sad state of affairs in the second Beis Hamikdash, that we already knew, the Nevi'im already knew from the outset that the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni was not going to last forever and ever. That's the Rav Shechter has a beautiful piece in Be'ikve Atzon, Simen Yotes, where he the title of the piece, I think, is Be'inyan Megillas Tainis, where he goes through the notion, the concept, that whenever we are Koveya Yom Tov, even though Megillas Tainis is Batel, so there are certain Yom Tovim that made it. Purim made it and Chanukah made it. So why is the Purim and Chanukah made it? So the Yisod is that whenever the celebration is a temporary celebration, it's not about Geula, so that didn't make it. That's Batel Megillas Tainis. But whenever a celebration, whenever we have a Yom Tov that's about Geula, that's for a Schalta de Geula, so such a Yom Tov is a Yom Tov that is going to be Kavua, that we actually keep. And the definition of Geula, he develops the idea that the definition of Geula is Beis Hamikdash, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there are three stages to Geula, that the Ramban writes that that Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, not because we got out of Mitzrayim in Sefer Shmos, because at the very end of Sefer Shmos the Mishkan is built, and Mishkan is the definition of Geula, Mikdash is the definition of Geula. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there's a three-step process in how we're going to get the Beis HaMikdash back. But first we're going to Lahachruz Arashal Lahamid Lahamelech, then Lahachruz Arashal Amalek, and then Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechira, that those are the three steps that happen one after the other. So the process that leads to Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechira begins with Lahamid Lahamelech. That's why that's his Zionism piece, that if we have a Jewish government in the land of Israel, that is L'chora Aschalta Degula, and maybe is worth being Koveya Yom Tov for. But anyway, he explains that by Nes Chanukah, that's why we have Chanukah. He says by the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the Chum in that generation already knew that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and Shlomo HaMelech was already had a Nevuah about it. M'chomei hi nivna l'atiras kesef, imdalas hi natzra l'luach eres. Our Gemara that it was like a piece of wood that was going to ultimately rot, that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. And not only that, the idea of the rotting wood, the Gemara goes on to say over here, we saw yesterday, is not just just that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, but that we didn't have Nevi'im. We had Nistalcha Ruach HaKodesh Mi Yisrael during the Tkufa of Bayesheni. The only Nevi'im that we had was we had a Nevuah of how exactly to build the Bayis. But that's it. The Gimel Nevi'im, Olam Imam Min Agola. So Echad Sheil Lem Elam Mizbech, the Gemara in Zvachim says, just giving us basic instructions of how to build the Bayis. And Malachi himself realized that he's going to be the very last Navi, and that's why he tells us at the end of his Nevuos, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, he gives us the kind of warnings you'd expect from the last Navi, meaning the kinds of things that Hine Nochi Shaleach Lechem Es Elio HaNavi, the next one that's going to come is Elio HaNavi, until Elio HaNavi, from me until Elio HaNavi, there's not going to be another Navi. So that's that because he knew that the Nevuos Nistalik Mi Yisrael, that we lose the Nevuah in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara has a fascinating drasha, though. The Gemara later on in Yuma, in about 10 blot from now, the Gemara is going to tell us that the Chamisha Dvarim Shoyi in Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni, that there are five major differences between Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni, and all of it is hinted to in the Nevuos of Chagai. And so the Mikdash Sheni seems to be lacking significantly, yet the Navi Zechariah in Perek Dalet reports this nevuah of a menorah zav kula v'gol al rosha, who reports a fascinating nevuah which relates to some element of the ultimate kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash and the kedusha of the kahuna and how it's all going to be b'tifarta. So it's very strange. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, we're not going to have the kahuna, but we just read about what kinds of kohanim gedolim we had in Bayis Sheni. They never survived the year. They were a bunch of rotten people who would buy their position. So what kind of kahuna is he being misnave about? So the Brisker Rav explained that no, what he's referring to is not, I think he quotes from the Brisker Rav like this, that what he's referring to is not the is not the Bayis Sheni, but that the Bayis, the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni and the Kedusha Agriz on Tanakh explains in the name of Reb Chaim, that there's a difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon, yes, was more impressive and had higher levels of miracles and Kedusha, but the Kedusha Rishon is Kitchel Shaita below Kitchel Level. Kedusha Shnei is Kitchel Shaita v'Kitchel Asa level. The Kedusha from the Bayis Rishon is gone. The Kedusha from the Bayis Sheni is still there. And the reason is that the Kedusha from the Bayis Rishon came as a result of Kibush. So Kibush is here one day, and then when we're conquered, it's gone the next day. So once we're conquered and we lose, so we lose the Kibush. The Bayis Sheni was not as a result of Kibush, it was as a result of Chazaka. That's what it means. Kiyim Beruchi, that because Hashem gave his Ruach in the late to allow us to come back, so that we were able to just take it bechazaka, not bekibush. The goyim let us have it back, and we took it back. So that never goes away. That kedusha we're always going to have. That kedusha stays, and which means to say, what does it mean that the kedusha is there forever? That when we build the third Beis HaMikdash, we're really building it on the foundations of the kedusha of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the third Beis HaMikdash is actually the continuation. So then everything makes sense. What's the Navi Zechariah talking about when he's being misnave about the second Beis HaMikdash with this incredible kahuna and with this incredible kedusha? He's not talking about that. It's not going to come out in the second Beis HaMikdash. It's going to come out in the third Beis HaMikdash, where that kedusha shnia is then going to realize its full potential. So yeah, there was chalisha sadas that to everyone that the Bayis Sheni was nothing in their eyes compared to what those who remembered the Bayis Rishon. But the nechama is that this kedusha is only a haschala for a long tkufa that's going to lead ad yimosu Mashiach v'ad bechlal, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu's maftiach on the nes of Chanukah that this nes is going to happen in avodas hamikdash, to show that the Bayis Sheni is not a second class citizen. That as much as Bayis Sheni doesn't seem to be as impressive as Bayis Rishon, it looks like it's missing Shechina and Ruach Hakodesh, but it's going to begin these inyanim niflaim, and it's going to shine la'asad lavo in the Bayis Shlishi. So he says that's the whole idea of the Kviyas Yom Tov of Chanukah. That just like Chacham were Mesakein in the days of Mordechai and Esther Yom Tov for the Binyan Bayis Sheni that will one day happen, because they thought that was going to lead to the Binyan Bayis Sheni, so too the Chacham were Mesakein in the days of the Chashmonaim, Yom Tov of Chanukah, Al Shem Binyan HaBayis HaShlishi Shala Asid, that it's going to lead to the Binyan Bayis Shlishi, because it's based on the Nevuah of Zechariah that this nes was merumas. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe that even though in Rosh Hashanah, that even though all the Yom Tov and Megillah's Tainos were batel, Shiny Chanukah de Mefarsem Nisa. What do you mean, Shiny Chanukah de Mefarsem Nisa? That it's Pirsum Menes, meaning that the whole Iker Inyan of the Nes of Chanukah is Lirmos Albinyan Bayashlishi, to be Machriz and to be Mefarsem, that there is Kedusha latent here in Bayashani that's going to lead to an incredible Kedusha of Bayashlishi. Miracles can happen even in this Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to lead to a Beis HaMikdash that's going to be more miraculous and more amazing than anything we've ever seen. So you thought that was maybe the relationship Neis Chanukah. I just thought it was a good Daf Yomi coincidence to talk about Chanukah a little bit. So the Gemara told us that Reish Lakish, it's a little bit odd that Reish Lakish had this conversation with Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, because Reish Lakish in general didn't like having conversations with people at all in the Shuk. So the Gemara had said, okay, we have to change one of the characters in the story in terms of who Reish Lakish had a conversation with. But anyway, we're two lines from the bottom of the page. Kiyasal Kameda Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei Lav Hainu Taima, when he came to Rabbi Yochanan, so what's the gears over here? He said, Lav Hainu Taima Di Inami Sliku Kulu Bimei Ezra, Lo Avashar Yishchina B'mikdashaini. So when Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan, he told him the whole story. So he said, well, wait a second, is that really true? Meaning, isn't it true that even if everyone were to come in the days of Ezra, still the Shechina would not have fully been there in the Mikdashaini? Tuchsiv, Yafta Lukim Liyafes, Fi Yishkon Ba'alei Shem. So what does that mean? Afal Gav, the Yafta Lukim Liyafes, Eina Shechina Shara, Ella Ba'alei Shem. Even though Hashem may have granted beauty to Yafes by allowing them to build the Ba'alei Shem, but the true Shechina is only going to rest in Ba'alei Shem. And Shem didn't build the second Beis HaMikdash, it was Yafes that built the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's why it was never destined to have a full sense of Hashras HaShechina. Uparsai minalan de Yefes kasu. How do we know that the parsai come from Yefes? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says bnei Yefes gomer mago gomada v'yavin v'tuval meshach v'tiras. So who are all of these nations? We're going to see that one of them is the parsai. So gomer, because we have to identify that the parsai come from Yefes. That's what we're trying to do. Gomer is a garmamia, mago is a kandaya, madai is a makedunia, yavon kimashmao, yavon is yavon, tuval is a besunaiki, meshach zumusia, tiras. Who is Tiras Machlokas? Chanomer Zu Beis Taraiki, Chanomer Zu Paras. And the other one says that it's Paras. So you see that Paras comes from Yefes. Tan Rav Yosef Tiras Zu Paras. Rav Yosef thought that yes, Tiras is Paras. So Paras is a descendant of Yefes. Savsav Rama Visavsacha. So it continues to identify nations. Tan Rav Yosef Sakistan Gavyasa Vakistan Baryasa. The inner Sakistan and the outer Sakistan, bin chadal chadam ea parsi. There's 100 parcels in between one and the other. Ve'kefa alpha parsi, and the circumference of the outer one is 1,000 parcels. Vati reishes mamlachta bavel va'arach va'achad v'kalna. The pasuk tells us about the malchus that reishes mamlachta bavel ve'erech va'akad v'chalne ve'eretz shinar. So bavel k'mashma'a erech zu urichos ve'echa Akad is zu bashcher, kalana zu nofer ninfi. Again, identifying all these different places. Min aretz ahi yatsa Ashur, and from that land that came out Ashur. Tan Rav Yosef, Ashur zeh silek. Ashur is silek. Ve'even es ninve ves rechavos ir ves kalach. And the pasuk goes on to say that ve'even es ninve ves rechavos ir ves kalach. What are all these places? Ninve k'mashma'o. Ninve is ninve. Rechavos ir zu paras de mishan. Kalach zu paras de borsiv. One is paras of Mishan, the other is paras of Borsiv. Ve'as rasan bein Ninve bein Kelach, hi ha'ira gadola, resan ze aktisfon, hi ha'ira gadola. What does the phrase hi ha'ira gadola refer to? En yode, im Ninve ha'ira gadola, im resan ha'ira gadola. Which ira gadola are we referring to? Is it a reference to Ninve, or is it a reference to resan? K'shu amar, v'ninve ha'isa ira gadola, l'kim ha'alik shloshes yamim. So when we have a pasuk in Yonah, where Yonah says that Ninve was an ira gadola, so we see Haviyomer Ninve he ira gadola, that Ninve was known as an ir hagadola. So there must be a reference to Ninve. Pasuk continues Visham Achiman Sheshai Visama Yelide Haanak. So it tells us a little bit about each of these giants. So Tana Achiman Miyuman Shabiachim. Achiman was the strongest of all of these brothers, of all of these giants that are listed. Sheshai Shemesim Esaris Kishachisos, that when he would step on something, it would become like runes. He would destroy entire communities just by stepping on them, because he was so gigantic. gigantic. Talmai shemesim esaretz tlam tlamim, that he made the whole world like furrows, as he would drag his feet, I guess, that everything would just be completely dug up. Davra acharachiman bnei Anas sheshe bana alush. Achiman was built by Anas sheshe bana alush talmai bana talbush. Yilide ha'anak shema anikin achama b'kamasan. Yilide ha'anak refers to the fact that they were so big that they made the sun like a necktie around them, that when they would stand up, it was as if when you, not literally that they reached the sun, but when you look up to them, you couldn't tell the difference. It looked like the rays of the sun were coming around their neck. It was like a tie around their neck when they would stand up. Amr b'shom levi amr rabbi, I see the Romi shetipol biad paras. The Romans are going to fall to the Persians one day. Shenemar l'chein shimu atzas Hashem asher ya'atz. Edom machshavos v'asher chashav. So Yoshvei Teman im lo, it continues the pasuk. It's all one pasuk. That l'chein shimu atzas Hashem asher ya'atz edom machshavos v'asher chashav. Al Yoshvei Teman im lo yischafum tziirei hatzon im lo yashav aleihem nevehem. So that's the end of the pasuk. So maskef l'rab barula my mashma da hetziirei hatzon parasu. Who told you that the tziirei Atzon that the pasuk is referring to is Paras, meaning you see in this pasuk that the Romans are going to fall to Paras, but that means you think that that when we refer to Tzire Hatzon in this pasuk, that's a reference to Paras. So Dichsiv Ha'ela Sharisa Balakarnay Malche Madai Uparas. So that it's based on that pasuk that it refers to the Ayil, and it says Malche Madai Uparas. So we see that Tzire Hatzon that are referred to must be Paras. Ve'ima Yavan, but how do you know it's Paras? Maybe it's the Greeks. Dichsiv, Bevat Safir Vasair, Melech Yavan, refers to the Greeks as a Sair. So isn't that also like Tzire Atzon? So how do you know that it's Paras and not Yavan? Kisalak Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki, Arma Kameda, Humi Rabbanan, Amar Lei, Mandalo Yada Prushe Kroi, Mosef Tiyuftal Radi. Someone who doesn't know how to tie up Sukkim will ask such a kasha that maybe it means Yavan based on that Pasuk. My Tzire Atzon, Zutru da Achawi, the Tani Rav Yosef Tira, Zeparas. Tzire Atzon doesn't just mean that they are compared to sheep in general, it means the Zutru da Achawi, the youngest of the brothers, and that's how we know that it's a reference to Paras. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Paras Kalvachomer. Says the Romans are going to fall to the Persians, and we know this based on the Kalvachomer. Umam Mikdash Rishon Shebanu Bnei Shem Vechrivu Kastiim. If the first base of Mikdash was built by Shem and the Kastiim destroyed it, Naflu Kastiim Biad Parsiim, and the Kastiim fell to the Persians, so Mikdash Sheni Shebanu Parsiim Vechrivu Romiim. So the second base of Mikdash, which the Persians built and the Romans destroyed, Einu Din Shiplu Romiim Biad Parsiim. So certainly the Romans are going to fall to the Persians, because those who build the base of Mikdash should certainly defeat those who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, just like we had in by the Mikdash Rishon, that the Bnei Shem built it, the Kastiim, if the Kastiim who destroyed it fell to the Persians, so the Persians who built the second Beis HaMikdash should be able to defeat the Romans who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav said, no, you got it backwards. I see the Paras Shatipal Biad Romi, the Persians are going to fall to the Romans. The Romans ultimately are going to be victorious over the Persians. Amru Le Rav Kahanav Rav Asi Rav L'rav benuye biyat story. Does that make any sense that the people who built it are going to fall in the hands of the people who destroyed it? Meaning, you would think that if there was any justice in this world, that the people who built it would have the upper hand, and the people who destroyed it would lose out. Samarlu in Gzeres Melech, he says, yeah, but that's the way it's going to be, because that's the Gzeres Melech. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared that it should be. Ikad Amri Amar Inu Nami Hakasashi Beknishta. Others say no. The point is that Paras is going to fall beyond Romi, because the Persians also destroy Batei Knesios, they destroy shuls, and that's a Mikdash Ma'at. So even though they happen to have been the builders of the second Beis HaMikdash, they are destroyers of countless Batei Mikdash. Every time they destroy a shul is a destruction of a Mikdash Ma'at, and therefore they also deserve to fall. Tanya Nami Hachi, see the Paras Shetipol Biad Romi. We have a Brisa that says that the Persians are going to fall to the Romans. Chada de Sasri Beknishta. One reason that that's going to happen is because they destroy shuls. Va'od Gzeres Melech Lushiyip Lubonim Biad Sosin. Plus, it's a Gzeres Melech that the Bonim fall in the hands of the Sosin. Now, the Achron tried to figure out what exactly it means, that Gzeres Melech. Meaning, is there some sort of explanation of Gzeres Melech other than it just doesn't make any sense and we can't question why it is that it happens this way, that the bonum fall beyond the sosum. In the Iun Yaakov, he explains that Edom is adif al paras, that Edom is better than paras, like the Gemara in Maseches Gittin says that one of the Amoraim, that Edom is better than Paras, and he has it talks about a mice of the Parsiim over there, and he says Rachmana obetulech obetulah debaresav, that it's Ribbono Shalom, either give me you or give me Edom, meaning one or the other, because it's so much better than Paras, meaning that whatever the Parsiim built and whatever the Romans destroyed is based on Gzeres Melech of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Parsiim don't have any zechus for building it, and there's no taina on the Romans for destroying it, because it was the Gzeres Melech that it would be destroyed. So they're not called bonim or sosim. That's the second explanation, actually. That the Einei Shmuel, he quotes over in the Birei Adaf, says the second explanation, that it's not just that that Edom is better than Paras, and that's why the Romans are better, based on some, and it's not just purely based on who builds and who destroys, but a second answer, that neither is a bona or a soser. They're all puppets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to be the bona and the soser. It's just a matter of who happens to be the puppets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to carry it out, but it's all a Gzeres Melech, meaning that's what Gzeres Melech means, that they're not getting credit for being bonim, nor are they being faulted for being sosrim, because it's all Gzeres Melech, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, controlling all of the events. Okay, Damrav Yehuda Amarav, Ein Ben David Ba, Achetiv Shot Malchus Romi Arisha, Bechala Olam Kulo Tisha Chadashim. Mashiach cannot come until the Romans rule the entire world for 9 months. Shnemer L'chein Yitnei Ma'adeis Yolda V'yesarach V'yishuvin Al B'nei Yisrael. So we use the expressions of Leda, of childbirth. That's what the Marsha expounds on this in Sanhedrin of Tzadi Chesam Beis. The Gemara says Tisha Chadashim, because a lot of places Chazal compared the Chevle Mashiach to Chevle Leda. That's why 9 months, like the Chevle Leda, like a woman's pains of pregnancy and childbirth. So it tells us that it's going to be a very, very painful time in history, but that painful time is going to lead to an incredible level of simcha, just like a woman goes through a painful period of pregnancy, but it leads to an incredible simcha of having a child. The Chassam Sofer says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds up our enemies is because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo is going to make a melchama, it's not his kavod to have a melchama against an uma katana. So if Hashem is going to defeat the Romans, he's first going to build them up, they're going to rule over the entire world for its kufa, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mappled them. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to defeat them, because it's not lefi kvodo to defeat a small nation. He defeats a large nation, similar to what the Gemara says in Chagiga on Daf Yud Gimel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kovesh kol olam kulo tachas nevuchadnezzar rasha. So the Gemara says kol kach lama, so that the Umos Olam shouldn't say that biyad umas shvele masar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esbanav, that we were given over biyad umas shvele, meaning when we make an enemy, we want that enemy to be at least substantial. That anyone who the Gemara in Gittin says that anyone who persecutes Klal Yisrael becomes a Rosh. They become a leader amongst the nations. That if we're going to have enemies, let them be substantial enemies and powerful enemies. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from those enemies, it's going to be all the more impressive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from powerful enemies. Okay, that's the end of the discussion of all the different nations. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss this Lishchas Parhedrin, where the Kohen Gadol would stay for the period of those 7 days, and we're going to discuss Hilchos Mezuzah. So Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Lishchas Shoyu B'Mikdash LaHoylen Mezuzah, all of the different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash did not have a mezuzah, except for the Lishchas Parhedrin, because Lishchas Parhedrin had a Beis Dira for the Kohen Gadol. So since it was a Beis Dira for the Kohen Gadol, it required a mezuzah. So the Chiv of mezuzah is only in a Beis Dira, so all the other rooms were not used for a Beis Dira. Lishchas Parhedrin, Tanakam Olz, is Chayiv of mezuzah, because it was made for the Kohen Gadol to live in for that entire week, for that 7 day period. Now the Gemara later on, tomorrow's daf, is going to give another reason to patra the other lishchos in the Beis HaMikdash, not that it wasn't made for dira, but that only a dira schal is chayiv in mezuzah, but a makom kadosh is not chayiv in mezuzah. mezuzah. That's why Mikra Adin Shulchan Aruch, a shul is potter from mezuzah. A Beis HaKnesses is potter from mezuzah. Because a diras kodesh is not chayv mezuzah, only a diras chol is chayv mezuzah. So the Rishonim ask, if that's the case, that should be good enough reason to potter lishchas parhedrin as well. Because after all, isn't it kodesh? It's part of the Beis HaMikdash complex. So the Ritva explains, no, the Rabbanon over here are cholik on the Brice over there, and they hold that you chayv mezuzah min HaTorah even in a bayis kodesh. So we need another reason. So we need to say that the Lishchas Parhedrin, so that would have been the Rishonim asked that the Lishchas Parhedrin should be potter, it shouldn't be chayiv. How come our Gemara is saying it's chayiv? So that's what the Ritva is saying. Yeah, our Gemara disagrees with that Gemara. Our Gemara says, Einachinami, Lishchas Parhedrin is kadosh, but even a place of kedusha requires a mezuzah. The only reason the other Lishchas in the Beis HaMikdash did not require a mezuzah is because they weren't a dira at all. Not kodesh and not chol, they were nothing, they weren't a dira at all. The Meiri says differently. He says that the Ptur of Diras Kodesh is only if it's Meshamesh Kodesh. Lishchas Parhedrin, its location may have been by Kodesh, but it was Meshamesh, a Diras Chol. For 7 days, he lived there like a normal human being lives. So that's a Diras Chol. It's not a Diras Kodesh. He wasn't doing Avoda in the Lishchas Parhedrin. There was no Kedusha happening in the Lishchas Parhedrin. So anyway, so that's our Gemara. The Lishchas Parhedrin had a mezuzah. Everywhere else did not have a mezuzah. The Shagasari asks in the Sefer Gvura Sari, why was Lishchas Parhedrin chayv mezuzah? Kohen Gadol lived there for only 7 days. The Gemara Menachos, when it goes through the mezuzah sugyas, tells us that if someone lives in a hotel or in an inn for less than 30 days, it's not chayv mezuzah. And therefore, Kohen Lishchas Parhedrin should be like a guy who's staying at a hotel. He stays there for a week. It's not chayv mezuzah. Also, someone who's socher bayis peretz Yisrael is chayv mezuzah right away. So you can say, oh, so maybe he's like that. It's like a socher bayis peretz Yisrael. No, what's the reason that a socher bayis peretz Yisrael? I mean, people often make that mistake. They think that they have 30 days to put up a mezuzah. The halach of having 30 days after moving in before you put up a mezuzah is if you rent a house in Chutz La'aretz. If it's either a house that you buy or it's a house in Eretz Yisrael, you have a chiyuv, even if you're renting it, then you have a chiyuv to put up a mezuzah right away. That's one of the most common things. As soon as people move in, or Hashem, people are constantly moving in, so one of the questions, oh yeah, do you need any help? You need any help with kashering the kitchen, with the mezuzah shaylas? So the common refrain is, I still have another 4 weeks till I have to worry about the mezuzah, so I think, you know, we have time for the mezuzah. So okay, then we have to have that conversation. Now, you don't have another 4 weeks, you got to put up the mezuzah right away. You buy a house, so there's no 30-day extension. But when you rent a house in Chutz La'aretz, you have 30 days. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's right away. So maybe you can say, oh, that's the Lishchas Parhedrin. It's right away. You grant it. It's only like a rental, but the Chiyuv is right away. No, that's only if you're going to live there for more than 30 days. Then the Chiyuv is Chal right away. But if you're only going to stay there, you go to a hotel in Eretz Yisrael for a few days, you're not going to be Chayiv in Mezuzah. So the Shagasari is bothered by this Kasha. Why would the Lishchas Parhedrin be Chayiv in Mezuzah if it's such a diras arai? So he says, based on Tosfos, that the reason one is potter from mezuzah if they don't live there for 30 days is because it's not considered the base diras shalom. It's not considered his home. So it could be, since the Kohen Gadol is chayiv to live there, it's not that he chooses to live there, he's obligated to live there for 7 days. Maybe that makes it more of a kavua type of base dira. It makes it his home. So that lends it the kavius that's necessary in order for it to be chayiv in mezuzah. Tosfos also raises the question over here about the Lishchas Parhedrin. Tosfos says, wait a second, we said all the Lishchas in the Beis HaMikdash are potter from mezuzah except for Lishchas Parhedrin. Why is Lishchas Parhedrin the exception? Because Kohen Gadol lives there for 7 days. Well, right away at the beginning of the Masechta, when we spoke about separating the Kohen Gadol for 7 days, we said this is not the only room in the Beis HaMikdash where we take a Kohen and put him there for 7 days. The Kohen who Sarif as Hapara also is separated to a different room in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. So why doesn't that room require a mezuzah? So Tosfos says two terutzim. First of all, maybe we're only mentioning those lishchos that were actually in the Kodesh. Lishchos Beis HaEvan was not located in the Kodesh. It was located outside. Second of all, he says, only Lishchos Parhedrin, the Kohen Gadol, was Porish every single year in advance of Yom Kippur, is Chayiv Mezuzah. Lishchos Beis HaEvan, there was a Paraduma, was once every very many years. therefore maybe that wouldn't be considered a consistent Beis Dira, because once in a blue moon we're going to have a Kohen who happens to be there for a full week. So that's the that's how the Balei HaTosfos answer it. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, you mean tell me that only the Lishchas Parhedrin has a Beis Dira? Amar Rav Yehuda v'lo kama Lishchas hayu b'Mikdash shayelen Beis Dira v'lo hayelen Mezuzah. There were plenty of Lishchas in the Beis HaMikdash that had a Beis Dira and still didn't have a Mezuzah. Really? There were people that lived in the Beis HaMikdash? What's this talking about? That there were plenty of... So Rashi tells us that the Shomrim, there were people whose job it was to be Shomer of the Beis HaMikdash. So where do you think they stayed? They stayed in the Beis HaMikdash. So there must have been a Beis Dira over there. So the Lishchos of the Shomrim required a Mezuzah. The actual Chiyuv of Shmir is a Machlokas Rishonim, exactly how the Chiyuv worked. The Rambam, in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, says that the mitzvah Shmira was only belayla, that during the daytime there's no mitzvah Shmira. The Mefarish in Maseches Tamid and Daf Chafei and Tamid says that there were Shomer Bein Beyom Bein Belayla. So whatever Lishchos they had for the Shmiras Kohanim was housed these Shomrim. But it's a question in the Rishonim whether this was something that they would be in 24 hours a day, or was only nighttime and not during the daytime. So says the Gemara, Ela Lishchas Parajun Gezerah. So rather, what you have to say is Lishchas Parajun is a Gezerah. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kasav Rabbi Yehuda called Bayis Shainu Asa the Mosacham, Losakasham, Mena Bayis. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's only a Gezerah, Midar Reis, it's part of from Mezuzah? Because the rule is any Bayis that's not made for year round use, it's not made to be lived in Yemosacham and Yemosakasham, isn't considered a bias, and therefore it's not going to be chayiv in mezuzah. Now we understand very well why the Lishchos Parhedrin is not chayiv in mezuzah, because it's not free mosa chami mosa kesham. That's the Gemara's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Tosa Rash, that also explains why the Lishchos HaShomrim is part of mezuzah. If the dira is only belayla v'lo b'yom, so then it's not a bias either. Meaning, you certainly feel like the Rambam that it's only for layla and not for yom. So then it's not a bias either. It has to be something that's made for consistent use in order for it to be a bias. So don't you see that it's called Beis HaChoref and Beis HaKayitz, that we refer to a place that you stay only in the Choref as a bias, and a place that you stay only in the Kayitz as a bias? So how can you say that it's not called a bias if it's only made for summer use or for winter use? Amalei Beis Choref and Beis Kayitz Ikri, Bayis Stamalo Ikri. Yes, the Pasuk will refer to it as a summer home or a winter home, but it will never refer to it just as a home. Something's only a bias stam if it's used year round. Eisvei Abayis, Abayis asks weiter, Sukkah Sachag Bechag Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv V'Cham Potrim, the Sukkah on the Yantiv of Sukkahs, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chayiv Mezuzah L'Cham Seis Potter, V'Tani Allah Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv Be'eruv, U'B'Mezuzah, U'B'Meiser. Rabbi Yehuda's Chayiv in Eruv, if it opens up into a chassid that has other diros, so it needs to join in the Eruv, U'B'Mezuzah, and Chayiv Mezuzah, and B'Meiser. So V'Chi Tema so you see that he holds that it's Chayiv in mezuzah, a sukkah chag b'chag. So even though it's not for year-round use, and we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda over here, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that the Lishchos Parhedrin, where the Kohen Gadol lived, is not really chayv mezuzah midaraisa, because it's not made for year-round use? The chite midrabanan. If you're going to say no, we only mean midrabanan that a sukkah is chayv and mezuzah, not midaraisa. Just like the Lishchos Parhedrin is only chayv midrabanan. So says Mar, no, that can't be what Rabbi Yehuda means. Bishlam erev mezuzah ikal mer midrabanan. You can get away with saying by Erev and Mezuzah that it's only midrabanan. However, what's the halacha by Meiser? I didn't explain. By Meiser, what do we mean that Yechayiv and Meiser? The halacha is that you can continue to snack from food that you haven't taken Meiser from until there's Re'iyas Pnei Abayis, until the food has come into the house. So what if it comes into your sukkah? Is that called Re'iyas Pnei Abayis? That's what Yehuda is saying. It's Mechayiv and Meisros, that there's no snacking on it anymore. It's Mechayiv and Meisros. So I understand very well you could say Erev and Mezuzah is only Dindra Rabbanan. Ela Meiser, Mi'ikah but by Meiser, can you say that the whole thing is only a Dindra Rabbanan, that it's going to be Chayiv in Meisros? We would never be Mechayiv something in Meisros Midra Rabbanan when Midaraisa is Pater, because Dilma Asila Frushe Minachiv al Pater, Minapater al Chiv, because one might come to be Mafrish from that which is really potter midaraisa to cover produce that's chayiv midaraisa, or vice versa. We would end up treating it the same way as produce that's chayiv midaraisa, and then it's going to end up being chisaron in the entire afrasha. Ella Amar Rabbi, so again, so we're back to our original question. How can Rabbi Yehuda say that the Lishchos Paradin really midaraisa is potter from Azusa because it's not made for year-round use? A sukkah is not either made for year-round use. And Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah. Elam Rabbis, rather Rabbi says, B'shiva dukulam lo pligidim echayva. Really, when it comes to the 7 days of Prisha of the Kohen Gadol, everyone agrees that it's chayiv in mezuzah, just like Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah. Ki pligi b'shar yimos hashana. Our question is, what about the rest of the year? Is the Lishchos Parhedrin going to be chayiv in mezuzah when the rest of the year, when the Kohen Gadol is not there? So if you look at Rashi, ki pligi b'shar, well, first in the Gemara, Rabbanan say Gazrina Shari Moshana Atu Shiva. Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Gazrina. The Rabbanan say Mid Rabbanan. Yes, it's going to be Chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't make any such Gezerah. It's only Chayiv during that 1 week. If you look at Rashi, Keep Ligib Shari Moshana. Rabbanan Savri Gazrina Shari Moshana Atu Shiva. Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Gazrina. El Lishchas Parhedrin B'Shari Moshana Hayla Mezuzah Kadesh Temuch Zekas LeKol Yodei Kebeis Dira Gemura Shlo Yomra Al Koyim B'Shivas Yemei Aprisha B'Beis HaAsurin Chavush. But the Rashi adds in, but the Lishchas Parhedrin had a mezuzah so that people would view it as a full-fledged base dira, and they wouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol is stuck in a jail for that week. So we'll get into what that means a little more in a minute. So Amrle Rava, so Rava says, wait a second, Vasukas Chag B'Chag Katani. How can you say that during the actual 7 days of Yontif, everyone would agree, of course, it's chayiv in mezuzah. It says the machlokas whether it's chayiv or pater mezuzah about sukkas chag bichag on yantif. Apparently, the rabbanon would say it's pater even on yantif, not just the rest of the year. Ella amarava b'shari yimos hashana kuliyam lo pligi de p'tura. Now the point is, everyone would agree the rest of the year that it's for sure pater. Ki pligi b'shiva. The whole question is during that week. V'sukkah time aluchud, v'lishchah time aluchud. And sukkah and the lishcha each have their own. The lishcha's paradigm each have their own logic. Sukkah time aluchud. The logic by sukkah is Rabbi Yehuda the time made damer sukkah diros kevabinon umachayva b'mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda holds sukkah is chayv in mezuzah because he holds that sukkah needs to be a diros keva. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita throughout Masechah Sukkah, that Sukkah needs to be a diras keva, Sukkah l'mayla m'chaf ama, etc. Rabbanon l'taymayu, damri Sukkah diras harayi inan, v'lo m'chayvu b'mezuzah. And the Rabbanon hold that the Rabbanon l'shita sam, that a Sukkah does not require a mezuzah, because a Sukkah dafka has to be a diras harayi. Sukkah l'mayla m'chaf ama is possible, according to the Rabbanon. V'lishcha taym l'chud, but when it comes to the lishcha, it's a totally separate logic. Rabbanon savri dira bal karcha shma dira. The Rabbanon hold that a dira bal karcha is called a dira, and therefore it is considered a full-fledged dira, and it's chayiv in mezuzah on the daraisa level. Rabbi Yehuda savar dira bal karcha lo shma dira, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, midaraisa the lishcha is pater from mezuzah because it's a dira bal karcha, and a dira bal karcha that a person is forced into living there is not called a dira. So why then do we require a mezuzah midrabbanan? The midrabbanan we shouldn't require mezuzah either, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Umid Rabbanan tekinu l'shaliyomer Kohen Gadol chavish beis asurin. And it's all a tekinu l'rabbanan that people shouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol is stuck in jail. So the way it turns out is that when it comes to a sukkah, machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether it's chayiv mezuzah, Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv, the Rabbanan say pater, that's on a daraisa level. Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv, the Rabbanan say pater. Machlokas by the lishkas parhedrin, the shitos are reversed. The Rabbanan say chayiv mi daraisa, and Rabbi Yehuda says pater. Now even Rabbi Yehuda says pater is still going to say you're chayiv midrabbanan by the lishchas paradrin, so people don't come to say that the Kohen Gadol is stuck in the Beis Hasurin. Says the Beis Hillel, commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that a jail doesn't need a mezuzah based on our Gemara. The Gemara says that we don't want people to say we put a mezuzah there so that people don't say that the Kohen Gadol should be in jail. So the implication of the Gemara is that if he indeed were in jail, it would not require a mezuzah. The Birkei Yosef in Simresh Pei Vav Oz Gimel says no, you can only label something as not a respectable living living as not being a diras kavod. That's what the Beis Hillel says. Why is taka jail patra mezuzah? Because it's not a diras kavod. It lacks a sense of diras kavod when a person is forced to live there. So says the Birkei Yosef, no, lack of diras kavod means like a bathroom or something like that, something that's not treated with proper kedusha. But a jail cell can be treated with dignity and is not subject to the tour of diras kavod. When the Gemara says that if the Kohen Gadol didn't have a mezuzah, people would assume he's in jail, it assumes the opinion that a dira bal karcha is simply not called a dira. But we paskin not that way, says the Birkei Yosef. We paskin like the shita of the Rabban in that Gemara, that a dira bal karcha is considered to be a dira, and therefore a jail would be chayiv mezuzah. But the Birkei Yosef says there may be another reason to exempt jail from having a mezuzah. The halach is any place not meant for permanent living, even if you happen to stay for more than 30 days, is not chayiv mezuzah. If you stay on a boat, let's say, for 2 months, you don't have to put a mezuzah up, because people typically don't live on a boat. I guess some people do, but it could be argued the same applies to a jail cell. People are only going to be there for a limited amount of time. So now it could be that he was assuming that there's no such thing as a life sentence, and he was assuming maybe now with our system of incarceration, maybe it will be a little different if a person is serving a sentence that's meikara, meant to be longer than most people live in their homes. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll continue more mezuzah stuff tomorrow.